Welcome to Idle Red Hands, a podcast from Japan about gaming and gamer life. And welcome to Idle Red Hands. I'm Chris.
I'm Wayne.
I'm La.
So I watched Battle Los Angeles.
Oh, yeah.
I thought it was pretty good. Like, I put it on while I was doing something else, in, like a little window. And then about like 5 or 10 minutes into it, I said, you know what? No, this is good enough where I'm going to stop everything else I'm doing and just watch this movie.
I'm surprised. I didn't hate it or anything, but I didn't think it was all that good.
I tried to recommend it to Wayne at work, but as soon as it said Battle Los Angeles, like one of our coworkers just went, "That's a terrible movie.
Yeah.
Oh, that is so boring. Oh, that is so bad."
I don't know. Like it was,
but no, I liked it.
I got the feeling that it was made by someone who was in the army before, because it's
and that's a bad thing.
No, it's made by a guy who was inspired by Saving Private Ryan and
I really
Black
got
Hawk
that
Down.
Feeling. It seemed almost. It felt like, because all the aliens were using, like, modern military tactics. You know, they're using cover and they were setting up kind of periphery of fire. So it's weird. Like, the aliens weren't that far advanced. Like, normally when you see an invasion movie, you know, they got lasers and teleporters.
They had lasers.
They did, but it seemed like they're only maybe 20 years or so ahead of the American troops. I'm not saying this is...
Instead of those massive spaceships, but yeah.
Yeah, but you'd think maybe they would just stay in space and bombard people, but they actually landed down... like that, and it seemed like two modern Earth armies fighting each other.
That was what he was aiming for.
Okay, and that's definitely the feeling I got. And it was this isn't as a criticism; it's just kind of it's not at all what I expected for an invasion movie. But yeah.
But is it an invasion movie, or is it more of just like
aliens are invading, right?
Yeah, but not to get back into that like zompocalypse debate we were having. But is it like an invasion movie, or is it like kind of a war story movie, or is it more of like a disaster movie? You know, just because something has aliens in it doesn't, and they invade, doesn't make it an alien invasion story, in my opinion.
Okay, you're on pretty thin ice there.
Granted, it's not worth getting into the definition of invasion versus warfare, but...
No, not any definition by any means, yeah.
I thought it was in between Independence Day and Black Hawk Down. And yeah, I would actually rank those movies in that order. Black Hawk Down, top, then Battle Los Angeles, then Independence Day.
Yeah, but actually, you know, with what you're saying, Wayne, actually it does feel more like a war movie than an invasion movie. So, I hear
Will Smith doesn't kick Independence Day up to number two for you?
Yeah, Will Smith. What was his name in that movie?
I don't know.
Yeah, what was his name? We were talking about Will Smith the other day, and we only remember Will Smith's character's name if it's actually
in the title of the movie.
Yeah. So we remember Hitch and Ali.
Legend of Bagger Vance.
Yeah. Bagger Vance, yeah, we finally got that one.
Well, there was one from Wild Wild West. His last name was West.
Oh, was it West?
Yeah.
That's almost cheating.
Don't remember the first name, but...
Is he really Legend? Is it Legend something? Legend Smith?
His family name Happiness in the Pursuit of Happiness.
John Happiness.
Yeah, but we thought, like, the characterization in Battle Los Angeles, just enough, not too much. The only thing, if it's not a spoiler, but, you know, that serial number scene where Aaron Eckhart, he remembers all the serial numbers of these people that died around him. Mm-hmm. And we just thought, I don't think he'd be able to remember those. Yeah, you might remember their names or be able to give a really good description.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or it's like, oh, and he was married to and give the wife's name. But the actual serial number, I don't know. Seemed a bit mad.
Kind of at the end, he kind of seemed to be like using like the mentalist trick of getting visual cues from the other guys. Like, so 3 5 7 9 3 3 7 8 8.
Gonna say 7 plus 1. One.
That's really just how it kind of came off, and you know, it didn't bother me when I was watching it, but it did go on for a little bit. Too long, and then
you're like, how many people died around you? We just have a few left. I really enjoyed it. I watched the movie, and at the end, I was like, I could watch another movie like this
or it again.
Yeah, not quite.
Yeah,
and it had Hoyt from True Blood in it.
Okay,
Jim Parrick.
Yeah,
yeah.
Sorry, I haven't seen True Blood yet.
The blanks.
You know what? Almost as expressive as the actor, Chris's face.
He's got a very expressive face, I said.
Yeah. I believe you put it a different way.
I think I said... No, at first I said he has a very expressive face.
No, you didn't.
And very expressive eyes. And then, but I did say he looks... I wonder how smart he is in real life, because he does have a little bit of a dumb face.
He does also play kind of...
But then the first character I saw, he's not... you know, a rocket scientist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I wasn't going to say
and the second character I saw wasn't a rocket scientist.
He just doesn't either. He kind of plays just average.
Yeah, but he's a very good face, a very likable face. Mm.
You know what it is for me too? It's the southern accent. No offense to anyone, you don't automatically kind of think of intelligence for some reason. At least I don't.
Yeah, I guess the southern accent is the opposite of the like the posh British accent. Yeah.
Depends on which southern accent, though.
Yeah, I suppose
you could have like a southern gentleman accent kind of thing.
I was just about to ask, are you going to do your Southern Belle impersonation? But
I could do that one as well. All right, if
the gentleman was enough.
Oh, what's his, in True Blood?
What, the character's name?
Bill?
Oh, the, yeah.
Stephen Moyers is his actor's name. I think he's actually English, though, but he does a southern, his southern accent's kind of, like, old-fashioned, so it doesn't come across as, like, a hick.
Mm-hmm. A bit lispy at times. He has to go through the fangs.
I'm from the south.
No, it's not that. It's more like, oh, shucky.
Oh, sure. Yeah. They all do that when they get the fangs out in True Blood. It's like, oh, now I got to emote through these plastic things. But it was good. We're also wondering about, remember we were talking about Game of Thrones?
Mm-hmm.
And the guy who plays Joffrey?
Oh, yeah, that goblin.
Jackie Gleason. Very unkind in the dress, but...
I can't believe you said that, Chris.
I heard it somewhere.
Were you perhaps quoting someone else?
that acting superstar. So it's good that he got the role, but it might have been a tough casting. You know, the casting agent gets the picture and like, oh come on. Have you not read the books?
Yeah.
Do you not know what Joffrey's supposed to look like?
Yeah, but you know what? Then after his performance,
you
know, the casting director does the kind of the slow clap, you know,
builds up,
stands up. Yeah, you nailed that role. Yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah. You worked through that disability. Disability? I'm a regular guy. That's right, you are. You and everyone like you, you're just regular guys. And you know what? You are a champ. You're the champion of regular guys.
You know, I think they should have a regular Olympics for guys like you.
Yeah, you give hope to all the regular guys out there.
You know, if this Game of Thrones doesn't work out, maybe we could do a reality TV show with you and that guy from Life Goes On. Which guy? The Down syndrome guy? Yeah. The other regular guy.
That's horrible.
I don't get it. Is it like The Odd Couple? Kinda. The Odd Couple thing. You know, just two regular guys getting roles in the mean streets of Hollywood. Sorry. Anyway, but Battle Los Angeles kind of gets into the topic that we're going to do today a little bit.
Mm, okay.
Yeah. It probably won't be clear until about two-thirds of the way through.
At least the topic. I think the topic won't be clear for two-thirds of the episode.
Well, you know.
We got a lot more Joffrey jokes to go around.
Yeah. Well, speaking of regular people, today we're going to talk about slavery.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to look at different types of slavery and how it's been portrayed either directly or indirectly in different films or books or how slavery was viewed in different historical periods.
Yeah.
So we're not going to talk about necessarily playing in a particular time period. We are going to discuss how you can use slavery in your game for better or for worse. Mm. Yeah.
Now, was he drawing on what historical elements or history for examples?
I think so.
Yeah. Just to clarify, so they don't have to wait for two-thirds of the episode to figure out.
That's pretty clear.
All right.
Well, just to shut you up, Wayne, let's start with one of those historical examples.
All right.
And we'll look at kind of the concept of slavery or how slavery was done in classical Rome and Greece. So that would be, I suppose when we think of slavery, we probably think of the Old South.
Yeah, definitely.
But with Rome and Greece, and I guess one of your questions is slavery evil?
Right,
yeah.
And if you're coming at it through the kind of the lens of the American South, then slavery would be immoral, evil. And if you look at it though from the Greek or the Roman lens, because a lot of people admire those particular cultures and civilizations.
They also probably choose to forget that they had slaves.
The Romans?
Yeah, like when people look back.
Viewed through a modern lens, a lot of people kind of overlook that part of it, is what he's saying.
They forget that the Romans had slaves. with a movie like Gladiator or the TV series Spartacus?
Good point, good point.
All right.
Yeah. I didn't say it was right, I just said that's what he's saying.
All right. All
right. But for the Romans, like the, and even the Greeks, slavery was just a different, it was basically a change in status.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't a lot of, like the American South where they might say, or the concept of slavery around that time, where the slaves were actually subhuman, or they would consider them subhuman.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in Romans, anybody could be a slave. You could be a slave.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you could also, it was not easy, but there was movement between the status. Like someone who wasn't a slave one day could, through circumstances, become a slave, you know, the next day, and eventually they could work their way out and not be a slave anymore.
Yeah, or vice versa. Absolutely.
Yeah. And work their way towards slavery.
Towards slavery.
It's going to be tough. Going to
have to put in some long hours.
To work even longer hours.
put in some long hours. Very little pay. You know. What might I even say? None.
It's really a thankless job when you think about it. But
yeah, but absolutely. Like a slave, they didn't earn wages, but they could... They can earn, well, technically they weren't allowed to earn property, mm-hmm. and they
own
property, yeah. and they couldn't earn wages, but they actually could accumulate money through perhaps employment through someone else or other things. So they could actually save money.
Mm-hmm.
It was legal, and then they could buy slaves, they could actually buy other slaves. So there's examples where Roman slaves could buy other slaves to even do their job for them.
So they could, own property and accumulate wealth? That's... How does that work?
No, they can't own
property. They can't own property, but they could accumulate wealth.
Isn't wealth property? Sorry, it's just a little confusing.
They could, they could do it, but okay. they weren't allowed to own property. But
you mean
perhaps you're thinking
land?
Of property. Yeah, you're probably thinking perhaps the property is land.
I see. But they were allowed to own things and money.
Yeah.
Okay.
So say money. So, for example, a slave is property, but they were able to buy slaves.
I see. That makes sense.
Yeah. And then a lot of them would use the money to, of course, buy their own freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was wondering about that before, because, I mean, you know, watching Spartacus, the guys, the gladiators earn money,
mm-hmm.
because there's, you know, scenes in the series when characters go around and tell them how much they've won and what they want to do with their coin. And so, yeah, when Lyle said that, you know, in his research, he found out that you can't own property, or you can't earn wages, rather. Mm-hmm. I was like, well, how does that work?
Because,
well, it's like gladiators get winnings, which is not... wages.
You produce something and then you sell it.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not necessarily earning a wage.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
I think there's like semantics involved there, mm-hmm. but it was possible for Roman slaves to accumulate wealth.
Okay. Okay.
And then to use that wealth to buy other slaves or to buy their own freedom or blow it on wine and
women.
Prostitutes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Other slaves.
Other slaves.
Kind of like buying other slaves for a night.
It's an interesting kind of image there, where you'd have someone who owns a slave, who owns a slave, who owns a slave, who owns a slave, you know. Clean the front room.
Well, that'd be happening. I mean, you know what, when you get to that point, when you're like wealthy enough to own a slave who owns another slave and like 10 steps down the line, wouldn't you think you'd buy your freedom?
Well, that's what I was saying. Like, you could say the slaves could buy their slaves. It's like, well, why wouldn't I buy myself first? But
well, let's say if they were an educated slave, they would be worth a lot more money.
Mm-hmm.
So to buy their own freedom, it would be much more expensive than buying another slave to, let's say, do some of the chores around the house.
Okay.
And they would probably still do the very educated things.
Yeah, I read about that, that there was how much stratification there was in the slavery in Rome was pretty surprising. Which makes sense. I mean, they had, you were saying about the slaves were mostly conquered people, prisoners of war.
Yep.
Yeah. And so, I mean, a lot of them were trained soldiers or, like you said, educated people.
But there are also like other ways to get slaves. Like you could be born into it,
mm-hmm.
and then there's a lot of unwanted children that would just get abandoned on the streets,
yeah.
and they would get taken, of course, and go into slavery, or I guess they would be an entrepreneur and go into prostitution themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah. There's different ways, but a lot of times,
ever.
Hmm?
Youngest prostitute ever.
What? Unwanted child? I'm sure there was like really young prostitutes.
I wasn't.
That's for another podcast. Yeah. We're on slavery, not prostitution today.
Which could be a form of slavery, but
anyway. Yeah, absolutely, yeah. But I think what makes it easy to understand for the Romans, and I think this helps in a game, is the Roman word for slave is servi, and I don't speak Latin, so.
Servi.
Servi. No, that sounds good.
I mean, I know we're going to talk about vampires eventually, but already?
And that just means a spared person. So as far as they were concerned, the slave was technically dead, or may as well be dead. So when you look at it that way, you know, slavery, well, it's better than being dead.
Yeah.
Well, and if a lot of them are unwanted children, come from unwanted children or prisoners of war, then it's like, well, we could have killed you, or we could have let you starve on the streets. But no, we welcomed you into this life.
Well, I mean, but
slavery. Yes,
I mean,
slavery.
Again, I'm not saying it's not good, but in that situation, if you have the ability to possibly earn enough to then buy your own freedom, well, then isn't that kind of better than death?
Absolutely. I think one of the worst things of slavery, much more than any of the physical beatings or work or whatever it is that, you know, that you're stuck there. You know, there's no real hope or dream. It's just whatever your master wants. So the ability to think that you could buy yourself away, I think that'd be much better than other types of slavery.
Yeah,
at least in my mind.
I believe, like, gladiators, like, that came from slave. Mm-hmm. I mean, some gladiators were prisoners of war when they were condemned prisoners. It would be a different situation. But, like, ones that are, like, prisoners of war, they could earn their freedom in 3 years in the arena.
Then into the army or the legions, either?
Then you're probably just free.
Yeah, you'd be a freedman.
Nice.
Of course, you got to survive the 3 years.
Yeah. I mean, that was the downs.
Yeah.
there was a catch.
You got to survive. All right. What am I fighting? Oh, you're
fighting.
If
you're condemned to death and they send you to the gladiatorial arena, you have to be killed within a year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it is a death sentence. Mm-hmm. It's just like, wow, you might live an extra month, 6 months. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if you get all the way to the end, then they kill you.
Yeah, I'm still going to kill you.
Yeah.
No.
Fun.
Yeah. Fun. Don't do the crime if you can't do the time.
Or in the gladiator pit, you know?
But, like, the Romans and the Greeks, except for one school of philosophy, they didn't have a concept of universal suffrage. Mm-hmm. So all men being created equal or should be treated equal, I mean, that's just an alien concept to them. Mm-hmm. So it's not
evil. Well, understandably so.
Yeah.
I mean, they had this amazing society with roads and, you know, working water systems and such, and they looked around and there were barbarians on the side.
Hmm.
Yeah. I remember seeing a history professor on TV once talking about the Romans, and he said that the Romans believed that they had a superior society, and I know it's politically incorrect to say so, but they were right. You know, around that, most people were still living in huts outside of Rome.
Yeah.
So.
Hmm. Well, the Greeks are the ones that coined the term barbarian, but it just means that people that don't speak their language.
Those barbarians.
No, it's like they're saying bar, 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 bar.
Hmm.
Their language, so they're barbarians, so. But they didn't necessarily look down. Like, they could still respect another culture, like the Egyptian culture.
Mm-hmm.
They would realize it's like, oh, well, they're an amazing civilization that predates us. So, But yeah, they would look down on other people, I suppose. Yeah. But I mean, you would just enslave whoever.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like you're enslaving, again, like if you contrast that with the American, the African slave trade, I'd probably more accurate to say, where they had to paint them as subhumans,
right?
In order, and this is just my theory. I couldn't really find why there was the disconnect or the difference between the two concepts of slavery.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it was them trying to reconcile slavery with Christianity.
Hmm.
No, I think that's kind of a good point, because at least in like Greece and Rome, everybody's not created equal, but almost, well, despite saying that, like, almost in a sense they are, because anyone could potentially become a slave, and, I mean, unless you were a convicted criminal, you had the chance to become not a slave again.
Hmm.
You know, so it's almost like the sense of equal opportunity,
yeah,
where you don't get special treatment based on...
like equal, but yeah.
Well, but I mean, like, nobody really got... well, I mean, I'm sure individuals got special treatment, but, like, as a whole, like, one class didn't get special treatment because they were wealthy. I mean,
really? Nobility class, merchant class, warrior?
Yeah, they did have a class system. Like, I mean, they had the plebeians and the patriarchs. But
yeah, but what I'm saying is, I'm sure you commit a crime, that's the punishment, is you become a slave, then you'll become a slave, is what I'm saying. Where, like, no...
Whereas in the American South, it was, you're black, you're a slave.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Thank you for
slight distinction there.
Yeah, thank you for summing that up.
Oh, no, that's so true. Like, you wouldn't be able to recognize a slave other than the clothes that they wear.
And actually, that was something
the Romans didn't allow slaves to wear togas.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they could just look just like them.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, they have all these Greek slaves, and the Greeks look like them.
I heard, it was actually my history teacher in high school said this, that a lot of times when the slaves went out of the house, like to go shopping and such, they would be dressed in regular togas because the percentage of the population that was slaves was so high. The Romans didn't want all other slaves to know just how many there were for fear of rebellion.
Oh, okay.
That may have been after, like, the Servile, First or Second Servile Wars, who knows, but...
Yeah, but I could also see it as kind of like a status thing. Like, you go out with your slaves, you don't want them to be dressed in rags, so everybody knows how poor you are.
No, I mean, you would still... I think the rule would be we have to be able to identify you as a slave.
Right.
There could be, like, a bit of subterfuge going on to show that, yeah, there's not as many slaves. Because, yeah, they definitely, especially after the Spartacus revolt, were very wary of slave revolts, as you would be.
Yeah.
And there were so many slaves that actually caused an economic crisis. And that's why they kind of they expanded the army and changed the restrictions of who can enter the legions, because there was a lot of unemployed people who no longer could get work as farm laborers or to own their own land. So the legion was the way to do it. Yeah, but I mean they would, you know, if a Roman legion lost the battle, they'd take like 50,000 of them and sell them into slavery.
Yeah,
so there'd be like Romans in the Middle East, you know, being slaves. So it was just the way of life. I don't know if it makes it better, but I think it's a way to, if you have slavery in the game, how to, I don't know, kind of reconcile it with our current morality is don't necessarily view it as like a very black or white, whoa, hey, issue.
Punny.
I'm loving your sensitivity on this.
Yeah, exactly.
I promise I won't scream anymore for you to go, "Bucha!" again. Please go on.
You wouldn't think that the Ethelred hands would be able to handle the topic of slavery with such sensitivity. And you'd be right.
Yeah, you'd be right.
But I like to contrast that with like the classic fantasy, where it is very much, if you're a nation that has slaves, you're an evil nation.
Right.
Because a good nation or a good race
wouldn't have slaves.
Right.
Well, when you said that, I was thinking of Lord of the Rings. I actually thought about it because of your the U.S. South trying to reconcile slavery with Christianity. And
that's just my theory.
Your theory. And I thought about, you know, in classic fantasy like J.R.R. Tolkien's Middle Earth, like the orcs are kind of seen as like subhuman, you know, or decidedly evil, and kind of wondered why. Well, if the elves are so sort of superior to them, why wouldn't they take slaves? Because generally it's the people who see themselves as superior who take slaves. But I guess...
Can I answer that?
Absolutely.
Because
yeah.
The elves are good. In a lot of fantasy, and you said earlier, not all fantasy, but especially something like J.R.R. Tolkien, I mean, the orcs are evil, the elves are good. There's that line between good and evil. So the good people do good things, and the bad people do bad things, and slavery is a bad thing. I mean, it's a really simplistic answer, but I think that's the reason why.
I actually thought of something else, and that is probably the correct answer. And
you know, begrudgingly,
begrudgingly. All right. That is the correct answer. All right, but I was thinking it because if you read the Silmarillion, you find out that orcs are actually elves that were just corrupted by Sauron, and elves could kind of see themselves as, you know, they were once us, and you know, going back to Lyle's theory, like you have to sort of subhumanize the person the people you're enslaving to kind of be able to rationalize it. And if you can't do that, can you make those people slaves? Well, I mean, I guess you could. You go with the Roman example where you don't make it racially
about
based.
Your race, yeah.
But, and then that got me thinking about the Uruk Hai, like the fighting Uruk Hai. Are they slaves? Like, we don't really find out all that much about them, but.
Well, they're created by Saruman.
Yeah, they're created by Saruman for a specific purpose,
right.
And you don't really see them doing anything other than following commands.
Yeah.
Well, I would say that those are slaves.
Mm.
Yeah.
They were created, but I mean,
not getting paid.
They don't have free. Yeah. They don't get paid. Well, I didn't see any elves get paid.
Yeah. It's hard to say. I mean, like they were created to destroy something, and from the way that they acted, they seem to quite enjoy that. So,
but
it's kind of hard to say.
Couldn't they have been made that way?
Exactly. So,
but they're still slaves.
Yeah. Agree.
They don't have free will. Or they don't have freedom of movement.
Right.
See, there's a difference between not having free will and not having freedom.
Yeah, but I think what Lyle meant to say is they didn't have freedom.
Oh. Okay.
All right.
I thought it was helping you out. All right.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. I just think that there's kind of it's a tough distinction to make. If something doesn't have free will, then can it actually be a slave?
I think, yeah. What I'm just thinking, when you take I agree with you, Chris, but if you take the classic fantasy concepts, mm-hmm. where yeah, a good race doesn't have slaves, a bad race has slaves. Mm-hmm. I think it limits the kind of stories you can tell, mm-hmm. because then slavery can only be used in the context of you're enslaved, mm-hmm. And you're going to be worked in the mine until death. Yeah. And you'll never be able to be free. And then you are. So I guess what are the stories you could tell? Well, you could do the slave revolt.
Yeah.
Or preventing escape.
Yep.
Preventing a slave revolt.
Stopping slavery in general by
stopping slavery.
Nation.
Yeah.
Yep. Raiding slaver caravans.
Maybe, saving slaves.
Freedom fighters. Yeah.
Yeah. But if you had it where slavery is just a part of all these different cultures and it serves a purpose, then you could become a slave. You could have slaves. Somebody could be a slave. There could be just that part of the culture.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps sex slaves or gladiatorial slaves, mm-hmm. or yeah, just different things that you can drop into. I mean, slavery's been around
since before written history.
We still have slavery.
Mm.
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah, apparently. According to the research,
debt slaves,
and not apparently, definitely, yeah. Absolutely.
Well, I was going to say apparently, the number of slaves is the highest it's ever been in history.
That's also because of population
well,
size.
Yeah,
I remember seeing a bar once. So there was a hole in the bar where ladies.
I don't think you can.
Inside.
Oh, all right, ladies hide. Yeah. All right. I was imagining a much smaller hole.
Okay. All right.
Dude.
What?
Just wipe it with a little Listerine.
But, I mean, that one Chinese company, Foxconn, has been in the news recently, right? The workers, they work like 35, 36 hours a day. They make less than 10 cents an hour.
Sorry, 35, 36 hours a day?
Sorry, 35 to 36 hour shifts. Thank
you. That'd be an awesome day.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, not because you have to work that long, but
pretty,
man, how long is that day?
In China, they have a 48-hour day.
Yeah. Yeah, rooms, 10 people to a room, you know, you're not allowed to talk with people, forming union is a prison sentence, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
That's. I mean, granted, you're earning wages, but yeah, that's pretty slavery.
Yeah, you talk about corporate slavery. Yeah.
Maybe like bonded labor.
Yeah.
Indentured servitude.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's what you're saying, debt slave. That's the most common type in the modern world, right?
Yeah, and you can pass on the debt to your children.
Man, that's just sad, man.
Yeah, sins of the father. But so when you look at the elves, what's the mm-hmm. relationship to the orcs? Then they're just going to kill them. They're the good race, but their only relationship is to fight until they wipe out the other race.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas if you took you applied a more Roman or Greek concept, they would fight, and then they could actually spare you, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. And maybe someday, you know, you'll have this little orc subculture in Gondor or whatever of freed men or freed orcs.
Yeah. Even going into the mindset, you know, where you're saying to make fantasy deeper than just good versus bad. Because if it's good versus bad, then all they can do is really oppose each other. But if it's more realistic, then there's so many different ways you can go with it.
And then you have the idea, like we were talking about the Islamic idea. So that one of the tenets is that they shouldn't spill Muslim blood.
Mm-hmm.
So of course, a way around that when the caliphs are fighting is to get slave warriors,
mm-hmm.
like the Mamluks,
mm.
and then they get a certain status in society, or the eunuchs,
mm-hmm.
and they get a very high. One eunuch in Rome actually tried to become emperor. And of course, no one was having it,
mm-hmm.
but. He got that high up that he could insert himself into that role.
Hmm.
And the Mamluks actually ended up taking over, I believe, Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps Turkey. Are we trying to sell slavery or?
Why
are we
getting rid of
that?
It sounds pretty awesome right now. You can run a whole country.
Well, no, I think, no, we're definitely
slaves,
not.
Slaves, yeah, they run this place.
Well, we're definitely not selling slavery, but I don't know, compared to saying, you know, slavery, just taking the approach that, like, slavery is evil, kind of like the fantasy example we give, mm-hmm. like good versus evil. Going from that angle, slavery has to be bad, but going from any other angle could come off as sound like we're supporting slavery. So,
yeah. Well, you know, I remember reading a short story ages and ages ago, and I apologize, I don't remember the name of it, but of course. But it was about where there had been
a slave to look that up for you.
Tell you what, you're offering?
No.
There was an alien invasion, and the aliens took humans as slaves. And the people who were taken as slaves, they had it much better than regular people. Because, of course, all the infrastructure had been destroyed and whatnot, so regular people were just scrounging for food. But the people who were the slaves of the aliens, they got medical treatment so they could live for a very long time, and they were fed consistently, and they had actually a pretty good life comparatively, but they were slaves. So
exactly.
That was
they were slaves.
Yeah. So that was kind of the idea of the story, is who actually had it worse.
Mm-hmm. I could see that. you know, if you have like the vampires take over the world, mm-hmm. if you agree to be like their food source,
yeah.
if you're kind of like that person's blood doll mm-hmm. or whatever, mm-hmm. using a vampire requiem or vampire masquerade term, then they may treat you quite well.
Mm. Yeah. I think I brought this up before, but in the World of Darkness Mirrors book, one of the sections is like they discuss all kinds of different apocalypses. Or kind of like not world-ending events, but kind of society-ending events, and how the different kind of monsters in their games would react to that. And one of the ones they were talking about was kind of like a nuclear holocaust. And they pointed out that vampires would not be the best kind of monster to survive that, despite what you think, because mm-hmm. you say, okay, well, vampires don't breathe, they don't eat, they don't have bodily functions, and they pointed out, yeah, but they need blood.
Right, right.
And the way the damage works in World of Darkness, they said, okay, a vampire is going to need at least 3 humans in sort of part of their retinue to survive. You feed on them on alternating days.
Yeah.
And they said, and now the vampire has 3 people they need to watch out for and take care of and provide sustenance for. Mm-hmm. So I just thought that was kind of interesting in how... I thought of it because they would have to treat those people marginally well so that they survived and take care of their basic human needs so that the vampire could survive.
It's like a cannibal economy. Mm. If you watch the movie or read the book, which is better, The Road, when they, the environment's devastated. Mm-hmm. So there's like a lot of bands of cannibals, and that's what they do. They get people, but you're like, well, how long is that going to last?
Right, yeah.
Not promoting cannibalism, but I'm saying.
Well, I'm just saying.
There's a downside to cannibalism. You might run out of your food.
You never
stores.
Get any deep sleep? Yeah. Wake up. Oh, what happened to my leg? Oh.
Yeah. I guess it was my turn. All right. I got it.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Actually, you know what? I just thought of this. It would be pretty weird if you had, because I guess the reason that doesn't work is you won't regenerate a limb. Right, where a human for a vampire will eventually grow the blood, they'll replace the blood.
Yeah.
But what if you had like a race that regenerates? Cannibalism could become a viable economy.
Mm-hmm. Well, it depends how fast it
goes. Well, yeah, it depends how fast. But, yeah. I mean, as opposed to like us currently where you don't regenerate. All right. Well, 4 meals and, well, I'm a limbless torso.
Well, it's the same with blood because you need to get that back.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm saying like,
But you do make more blood.
You do make more blood.
Well, just like if you regenerate a limb, you do. Do that, but it's the same idea. You can drain the blood faster than the person can replace it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you'd have to have a bunch of people you were snacking on.
Perhaps 3.
If somebody's already done the math for you,
I'm sure. Yeah. I might do it myself.
Yeah. That brings us to the reason why we came up with this topic is watching True Blood.
Mm-hmm.
And hey, remember the 2/3 of the way through, see the connection, Jim Perrick.
Oh, was that tenable? Oh, all right.
Sorry, there's another connection as well.
Cool.
But, they have in True Blood, they call it glamour. In Vampire, they call it dominate.
Kind of dominate, yeah.
Yeah. Or you could just have somebody get addicted to the blood, like a blood bond.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, just that concept is you're enslaving the mind.
Mm-hmm.
Or you're enslaving the person's even addictions. If you can broaden it out even more. And that's kind of a functioning slavery within a society that doesn't allow slavery.
Mm-hmm.
Because, it seems to be they're doing it of their own free will. But if part of your ability is to sap free will, like the mind flayers in D&D, of mm-hmm. course, evil race. Yeah. But, they can mind control people. And that's how they enslave all these people.
Or just made me think of another slave race, the drow, evil race. They always take slaves.
Yeah. So going with the idea that somebody doesn't have free will, like with that glamour, then you could also talk about AI, robots or something like that, like in the Matrix.
Well, Matrix, it's kind of like double,
mm-hmm.
because not only the AI, when they originally made those AI, were they slaves?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I was going to say, do they say why they made AI or just kind of like a...
I think it's in that when...
The Animatrix.
Animatrix.
Game, yeah.
It's, I don't know if they... explicitly say
why,
but they do talk. They do have one of those short cartoons was about the war.
Yeah, that was the best one. The first one.
I agree.
Yeah, the best one. Yeah,
Although, they block out the sun.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, they started out. They said they had a whole bunch of servitor robots.
Yes. And no, then, they do say it. Yeah. And then they treated them very poorly.
Mm. Yeah. And then one killed its owner, and then that started the whole chain reaction to the war.
That's right, yeah.
But then you also have the humans who live in the... I guess you could say they live in the Matrix.
Yeah.
So they're not aware that they're, in essence, both slaves and a resource,
yeah,
a food source.
But I've always wondered that, though. I mean, if there's something like that kind of situation where you don't realize that you're a slave, does that make you still a slave?
I think it depends on where you're looking. Like someone, like even inside the context of the movie The Matrix, right? The free people who lived in Zion, to them, the people who were still in the Matrix were definitely slaves.
Mm-hmm.
They were being enslaved to someone inside the Matrix. No, but they didn't even know.
Yeah.
But,
and that's what I'm saying, you know, just.
But I mean, like, going from a legal standpoint, and I'm not a lawyer, but, you know, ignorance of the law doesn't prevent you from breaking it.
True.
Right?
True.
That's not a legal excuse. So, I mean, you could.
But did the AI have the law against slavery? Obviously it didn't.
No, but what I was saying is you could kind of look at it the same way. Like, just because you don't know you're a slave, you can still be a slave.
Actually, that's a really good point, yeah.
All right, I guess we solved that.
Well done.
All right.
Thank you. You've returned the favor for answering the fantasy. Yeah, well, how about then, okay, how about Star Wars droids then? Were they slaves? Because,
yes.
Why? Because they were programmed to want to be slaves, right? They were happy to be slaves.
That's contentious. I don't know if they were.
Okay. C-3PO didn't seem to be terribly happy that they're going to wipe his memory.
Right.
And I know that's just a little plot device to explain why they... Yeah. The latter three movies.
Star Wars isn't really the best example because they never really get into that issue. It's more about, you know, the Force and whatever.
Well, they had slaves.
They did, yes. I meant specifically for the droid.
Oh, part okay. Of
it, yeah, it's kind of weird. Like, they kind of sidestep it, and then, I mean, some droids are treated like property, and then other exactly the same models are treated like people.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah.
There was a droid revolution or rebellion in one of the stars. I think it was in the comic series. But that was because they had been reprogrammed to consider themselves slaves. So, you know.
So, sorry, they've been programmed to...
A...
To view themselves as slaves, and that's a bad thing?
I'm not saying it's a bad thing.
You said they were programmed to view themselves as slaves.
Right.
But if they viewed it as a good thing, then it's the same thing as what you're saying. They're being programmed to want to help.
Right, exactly. So...
I think I know what Lyle's trying to say, like... It's like if the programmer programmed them to think they were slaves, why wouldn't they?
Why would they revolt?
Why wouldn't they program them to say, "Hey, we're a slave and we love it"?
Okay, yeah. Maybe you know. Maybe well, I didn't actually read the comic series, of course. I just read the thing of it online. But maybe programmed him to think they were slaves. Maybe programmed to realize that they were slaves.
Okay,
maybe that might be a way of putting it.
Yeah, that'd be a better way of putting it. Yeah. Well, then if there is a revolt, then even within that continuity, then they're slaves. Because you can kind of like just unlock that they realize it.
Mm-hmm.
But clearly, if you look at, it's kind of silly, but if you look at a C-3PO, you would say that it can communicate at the same level and think on the same level as a person.
Mm-hmm.
It has emotions the same as a person, has a personality the same as a person.
I guess, but in Star Wars, they say that they don't. They say that droids can't think. They don't have...
You say that and...
Yet they seem to think when you look at them. So, yeah. But that, again, that's Star Wars kind of just not dealing with that issue, I think.
Yeah. But then if you look at it, just a movie that does deal with that issue and a book that deals with that issue is Blade Runner.
Yeah, absolutely.
Of course, not the book title, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the movie. So you have the replicants and they think of themselves. They view what they're experiencing as a form of slavery
absolutely.
And they want to escape.
What you said about the clones kind of made me think of Eclipse Phase a little bit.
Yeah, with the forks?
No, I was going to go with the uplifts. And I know you wanted to play an uplift, Chris, and part of the reason why I didn't want to let you is because they pretty much say that uplifts are, they don't directly say it, but they're a form of indentured servitude, or they're bond slaves.
Mm-hmm.
Because the company that sort of raised these intelligent animals to sapience or intelligence, they own them.
Mm-hmm.
And the uplifts pretty much always have to pay the company back for that gift. They have to pay them back for for raising them, for the education they give them, for any alterations they made to them, whether wanted or not. So it's pretty much like as soon as they come online, they're already in debt to the company, and they have to work to pay that off. And, like, their genetics are owned by the company. So if two uplifts want to have a kid, they actually have to go to the company and pay to have their genetic code, pay to have their genetic code unlocked. Mm-hmm. And then the company often insists, pretty much always insists, that the child be then raised in the company. Hmm. So right off the bat, you're creating a person or who is in debt to this company.
That's like a company store, though.
Yeah.
Like those mining towns.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, it's still flexible. There's still some mobility involved there. So yeah, that's good to use.
Definitely.
I mean, you eventually pay it off, but.
I mean, some settings would just have it. You know, you're an animal. Doesn't matter if you're uplifted or not, and you will always be a slave.
Yeah. Hmm.
That's what you are.
You know, maybe I'm just pessimistic, and that's kind of how I tended to look at it, which is why I didn't really want it when playing an uplift.
I think that would be a rich experience.
Yeah.
A role-playing experience, because you could do it where they are indebted to the company, and then I wouldn't really see that as far as in a game, from a game perspective, is much different from playing a military character, for example, or even a corporate character, if you have a very corporate culture. Or you could play somebody who's just recently bought his or her freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And then are they resentful or are they grateful?
Yeah. Hmm.
All right. So to wrap up, what are some questions that you could ask yourself if you're going to include slavery in your game?
Hmm. Well, I think an important one to ask is slave and master. Are they the same race, or are you going to have, like, to use the fantasy example, different races enslaving each other?
Yeah, that's a huge question to ask. Like, if your slaves and your slave owners are the same people, essentially, like with the Romans, you know, you have to take steps to make sure that slaves can't hide as other people. It's the line between what is and isn't a slave. It's probably easier to cross.
Yeah.
Oh.
If it's like in the American South where it's a different race, you can't hide the fact that you are that race easily anyway.
Well, ethnicity, but yeah.
Yeah, I was going to.
Sorry.
I'm glad Lyle said that. Sorry, I was going to pick a bone with that race, you know.
And if you go something with like in sci-fi where, you know, you've got humans and aliens, you know, there's such a big difference between it that there are a lot of stories in comics where aliens invade and enslave humanity. And, especially in superhero kind of comics where because the aliens, they're not human, the superheroes just kind of go to town and them.
Yeah, but.
Oh, because it's like they don't have to hold back. Exactly, it's like having, you know, like in Phantom Menace, fighting the droid army.
Exactly, yeah.
I'm not disagreeing, but you know what? I didn't care when they were fighting droids. You don't care.
Well, that's also part of it. You're there to see the explosions and the action.
Yeah,
Superman being awesome.
Yeah, wouldn't it be kind of be more impactful if, hey, yeah, the people enslaving us are humans, so we kind of.
But would you care?
Town to them?
Are you going to hold back? Oh, let's. That slave master. Oh, but he's got two eyes and a nose. You know, we're killing one of our own. No, just kill him. Just kill him. And we'll be free.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you mentioned superheroes, and we also talked about vampires, it's like they are kind of human, but there's also interesting stories that you could tell in, are they the same race? But then you could do the enslavement there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the vampires were human. Do they remember being human?
Mm-hmm.
Are they now a different race, therefore slavery is easier for them, or do they remember so it's more difficult? You see that played out in something like True Blood and the kind of relationship they would have with the humans, and somebody like Bill, that character, wants to retain his humanity. And of course, that's a major part of playing Vampire the Masquerade and Vampire the Requiem is how much you maintain of your humanity.
Yeah.
And that would determine how willing or unwilling you would be to enslave somebody, because I suppose then they would consider slavery immoral.
Yeah, absolutely.
And in a superhero, what's to stop you from thinking that those people who are, and comics like the X-Men do that, where there's Homo Superior and Homo Sapien. Right. You see guys like Magneto who will then figure that the humans should just be a slave race.
Mm-hmm.
Going back to the original question, which we've discussed, I think the important question to ask is, if they're the same race, how do they reconcile that?
You know? Yeah, and I guess this is just a theory, of course, but then you'd make them not the same race, or like...
Right, you essentially dehumanize
them. Like the Africans, they're a different ethnicity, but they're still the humans.
Yeah.
But you're like, no, they're not humans. They're not the same as us. And then you start to liken them more to animals. In Star Wars, then how do they reconcile? They kind of say things like, oh, they can't think.
Yeah.
Oh, but C-3PO seems to be doing a lot of thinking right now.
he's programmed to do that. That's just a programming.
Yeah, R2-D has found more situations, his way out of situations more often than the rest of the characters have.
Hey, you know what? Mice eventually find their way out of mazes, you know?
Yeah.
I was going to say, this is a bit...
So just drops of water.
Yeah.
It's a bit... Oh, I just read
this. Can I make my point? I've been trying to say it for a while now. The conversation's going to go, like, completely off and left field. I'm going to be like, by the way, and then we're going to get shot down for saying something unrelated. I was going to say, it might be a bit semantic-y, but rather than dehumanizing the slave race, couldn't the people in charge also sort of elevate themselves? I mean, it's the same end result, but...
Yeah, it's kind of the homo superior thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Was it the white man's dilemma?
I was trying to not make it racial, but I was going to use the
this race elevates itself above another race.
I was
not racial, though.
All right, fine.
I was going to start at this point at race, but I was going to move on to something else.
All right. I was going to use the Magneto example, whereas you have this race... Damn it! I said, "Yeah, okay." I don't have a leg to stand on.
Please continue, though. I want to know where you're going.
My foot is firmly planted in my mouth. All
right. Right. Yeah. You could. But that is another way of looking at it. You could dehumanize or de-elvize or whatever.
Superhumanize.
I've coined that de-elvize.
De-elvize.
De-dwarfize.
Oh, de-dwarfize. De-elvize. All right. De-dwarfize.
That's a good one.
So I guess the drow super elfize themselves.
Another question to ask is how do you become a slave in this world, and can you become free?
Yeah.
So if you take,
I think it's a lot more playable if you become free, because if you can't become free, then I think you've limited it to slave revolt.
Right. Yeah. No. Said kind of
not
slave
necessarily. What you were saying before about having a wider definition of slave, as opposed to kind of just the good and evil. Like, you could be a slave who's out to gather wealth for his master. Something like that. You could have someone who's you could have someone who's
more...
kind of owned by a company like the Uplifts in Eclipse Phase for that one.
But they can become free.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what I'm saying.
So Lyle was saying, if you have a slave,
if you have a
situation,
closed, no mobility,
you cannot become free.
Okay, sorry. I thought you were saying that. I thought you were saying your choice would only to be a your only chance would be a slave revolt, that kind of story.
If you cannot become free, if there's no way for a slave to earn their freedom,
that you can't become free, you can never work off your debt from the company. Does that mean that the only story you can tell from that is a slave revolt?
Unless you want to tell the story of, and you're
being
a slave.
Yeah. I mean, that's fine. You could tell the story of being a slave, but then you'd have to be a pretty darn exciting slave life, like a gladiatorial slave. Mm-hmm. Or what we were talking about earlier, like a eunuch or a mameluke, where you have a very important role in society or in that society. Mm. You could also make it, I mean, and it's not to say that a slave revolt is not an exciting story, or even a slave escape is an exciting story. Because not only do you have that story of escaping, but then if you look at like the North and South, the American North and South, then you can escape to the North, and then... Is that culture then very accepting? Is it like, oh, whatever, you're just like one of us? Or there still could be that
stigma.
You know, yeah, there's that stigma. And there was a stigma for freedmen in Rome. Mm-hmm. So they still had that. It wasn't like they were viewed logically as like a citizen.
Yeah.
But there, it's like, you know, all that propaganda from the South got to like seep. I mean, it doesn't even have to originate from the South, but all that propaganda of them being a subhuman, it's not like the North was immune to it. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, legally you're not a slave. Legally you're a person, but you're not really.
Yeah.
You know, and that would be a different way to play the game. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then it's like the elves, they're like, well, we're a good race, therefore we don't enslave people. But if you're an escaped slave, like let's say like the orcs enslave goblins, and the goblin slaves to the elves. Like, how are the elves going to treat that goblin? It's like, well, yeah, technically we won't enslave you. We'll kill you. or they accept them into society as this really, as what, a pet?
Yeah.
Even if a human comes into Rivendell, like, how are they treated?
Yeah. And that's actually something to question. You know, if you have someone like this goblin in the middle, you can go to the orcs and become a slave, or you can go to the elves, but they'll just kill you. you know, which one are you going to choose?
I wasn't even thinking.
Well, I suppose not neither, but...
Yeah.
Well, then, I like my own country, please.
Yeah, go down the middle. Yeah.
Option C.
Yeah.
Just hide in the woods, thanks.
That's all they were doing in the mines of Moria. They were just, hey, we're just relaxing. The dwarves come in again. All they want to do is kill us.
Yeah. Well, that's why they did it. They're like, oh, man, if those dwarves get out, they'll tell everybody where we are.
Yeah. It's like the Balrog. He doesn't bother us. He's in his little hole.
He's cool. We cool. Yeah. It's all good.
You're a dumbass. Riled him up. You got to deal with him.
Yeah, I made a little arrangement. Yeah, just like maybe view it from that perspective of the oppressed goblins. Watch the movie again, people.
Yeah.
Watch it again.
What are some other questions?
All right. Okay, are these guys saying slavery's okay and the goblins were the heroes of Lord of the Rings?
All I'm saying is the untold story.
Oh, well, we didn't really get into how do you become a slave, though. So you could be captured. And I get, you know, not to harp on the Romans, but to get into the concept of, you know, a slave is really a servy, spared person.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's a way to keep people, the party alive instead of just like killing whoever. I mean, and you could do that in a science fiction setting. You can do that in a modern setting. I mean, you're monster hunters and you trying to do like some sort of like, the hunter, the reckoning or, like supernatural.
Mm-hmm.
And the vampire's like, well, you know something? I think I just want to keep you as a slave now.
Yep. Instead of just killing you off. Congratulations.
Yeah. I mean, certainly. Would be better than like some cheesy escape route for the players if they do something colossally dumb. If they attack that red dragon, then the red dragon is like, yeah, you're not going to win this. I'll play with you a bit. Now you're my slaves. All right. And that adventure of being the dragon slaves, what mission would it put you on?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Good. If you have players who like want to dabble in the dark side because, you know, if you're doing a more traditional... slavery is evil, but if your players are like, can we play an evil party? Then you're like, all right, well, let's try it out for an adventure.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not evil, you're slaved, enslaved. Mm-hmm. Maybe they've taken away your will. Can I make a... Maybe, or...
I decide to kill all the villagers. It's not my choice.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah. That's what I was thinking.
But that's a story to tell.
Yeah, it's a story. I didn't mean to shut you down. Sorry.
Or maybe you are totally conscious and you're kind of aware of what you're doing and you're internally rebelling from the actions. But yeah, you can then... Maybe you love it. And
being evil.
Unlike that dark side of you.
But that's an experiment. And then, you know... Even if the players like it, then you can still flip back to the default of you're kind of a good party.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have to deal with the consequences, both internally and externally, of what they did, and even though they were enslaved. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
I'm just an evil GM, because that would be pretty nasty. Okay, dragon enslaves you, has you go all these horrible things, then you somehow become free again, and now you got to deal with all those horrible things you did.
I'm surprised you haven't mentioned Changeling, Wayne.
Oh, yeah.
Because you come through the hedge.
Right.
You've come from a slave culture, and you were a slave.
Yeah.
But there can be a bit of a stigma depending on what type of slave you were in that hedge. Yeah. And some of them...
Other slaves look...
Would have lorded over the... Like some of these...
What, the kiths? The different kinds?
Yeah.
Essentially?
Yeah. Well, they do that in the Changeling book. They have, for each of the different kinds of slaves, they have a little paragraph saying that why your situation was the worst and why other people had it better than you. Because each one has kind of a different layer of victimization on them.
Yeah, you could.
You have the concept of resentment.
Mm-hmm.
And how often do you get to play that within the game? You might resent the actual players at the table or something.
Why do I keep showing up to this game, goddammit?
There's no might about it.
Like, oh, the Dungeon Master going to give him another +5 Holy Avenger? All right, yeah. Yeah, but playing that within the game of the... resentment. You can, be good. Right. And because of something that you had no control over.
Yeah.
Another one you could ask is, how are slaves considered in the society? Like we said with the Romans, are they considered just a conquered person?
Spared person.
Thank you very much. Or is it something like in the American South where they're not even considered people? Are they considered a piece of property?
I think all slaves, it's considered property.
I suppose in all cases.
Right.
Yeah.
And then you look at, like, Reign of Steel, which is a GURPS supplement. And it's the AIs that they create, and then they take over Earth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Matrix, again, is another.
Yeah. Those are good. It's like the tables have turned.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens when the enslaved become the enslaver?
That's a fairly common story thread in some sci-fi.
There's something to think about, too, talking about Matrix. How do you keep the slaves as slaves? because, I mean, it's kind of assumed that the slaves wouldn't want to be slaves. You know, obviously, the Matrix, they didn't know they were slaves, being in that VR simulation in Star Wars. That was pretty cheesy, in my opinion, having the bomb in the brain, but...
You took issue with Phantom Menace, Wayne, and how Anakin and his mother were kept.
I guess I did. I've kind of calmed down, because, you know, as I usually do. But now that I've taken a much more wider view of slavery, I can say, yes, okay, they were slaves. Their freedom,
but they were kept very well.
Yeah, they were kept very well. Their freedom was limited. They were property, as we see, because Anakin's mom was sold. Mm-hmm. But I originally took issue because they didn't really seem that poor off to me.
Oh, yeah, they seem like a happy family, which is not very... realistic as far as slaves go. I mean, I don't think they would
slaves
still
be happy.
Oh, absolutely. But I think the thing that I took...
I sounded really defensive.
Come on. What's wrong with slavery? Come on, guys. I remember reading that a lot of Irish immigrants to America had gone down south to work near the beginning of the Civil War. And there was a lot of resentment among them for slaves, because they had to work these long, hard hours, as long as many of the slaves did, but they didn't get free housing and clothing and food.
Oh, you ever watched the miniseries North and South?
There was some resentment for slaves, for people who weren't slaves. So it is some people could consider slaves to have a...
Well, people would, I mean, in the medieval system, I always have trouble pronouncing it. It's this signorial system.
Okay.
It's kind of a manorial system.
Okay.
And that's where you have serfs tied to the land. And a lot of people would willingly do that, is tie themselves to the land because, they would get protection and an income.
Yeah.
I watched the miniseries North and South when I was younger. And they have a scene, where the Patrick Swayze, he's the southerner, and he sees, I forget the northern guy's name, but he sees the northern... employees. And he goes, wow, they live in a worse conditions than our slaves.
Yeah.
And the guy turns to him and he goes, but they can leave at any time.
Exactly.
They choose to be here.
Yeah. And I think that is a big difference. Like the workers in the South, they may have had it pretty bad, but I mean, that's the thing. They were always free. And that's a big thing right there.
I'm reading a trilogy. Well, I've gotten to the second book because the third one hasn't come out yet by Robert Harris. And it's about Cicero.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the first book's Imperium. I really recommend the series. But it's written by his ex-slave, Tiro.
Mm-hmm.
And you see a relationship where somebody could actually play the slave owner and the slave, and that relationship and why the slave wouldn't necessarily resent the master. And you follow that along. Yeah, it's a really good series in its own right, but it's also good just to see how could I play a slave, you know. Why would I not be tied to chains? And I guess the most important question, if you're going to incorporate slavery into your game, is it evil?
Yeah. And content of this podcast, it sounds fantastic.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you listen to this Concat podcast, you probably think your answer is yes.
I'm just saying, give it a chance. Hear it out. You could say, and it's not necessarily, is it evil? It's not so much what your opinion is. It's how you're dividing it. Is the division yes and no? Then those are the stories you tell. Or is the division,
Yeah.
Let's find out.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that could be something that that you can really play with the players. You know, if a lot of modern people, almost all modern people view slavery as a bad thing.
Incorporating slavery into your game can really make your culture different from what we experience. Because, like you've said before, Chris, is like we view slavery as bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, modern society views slavery as bad. So when you have slavery, it could be bad, but it exists, which is different from our experience. Or it exists and it's not viewed terribly wrong. There's slavery everywhere. Instantly, that culture is different from what people expect. Like, even if an eclipse phase with the uplifts.
Yeah. And that could be something hard for modern people to play in. I mean, if you're playing a Roman, most Romans wouldn't see slavery as a bad thing.
Yeah, I was talking with Lyle about that before the podcast. I was wondering, like, just in a general sense, if you played in a game where slavery was not evil, but just kind of part of the society, like, would you as a modern person with this kind of concept that slavery is generally seen as evil, would you be able to play in that role? Or would you be able to play someone, like in Rome, like someone who owned a slave?
Yeah.
You know, and that's just kind of the way things are. Or I tend to think people would gravitate towards the benevolent slave master, where, you know, they could have slaves, but kind of be like, look how good I am to them.
Yeah,
you know?
Which is, even that is just still kind of odd, isn't it? To accept that I own slaves, even if I treat them well.
We didn't discuss it, but even in Eclipse Phase, just getting into the idea of, there's a lot of like indentured servitude, even for people who aren't uplifts, because there's just a huge lack of bodies and all these kind of consciousnesses floating around. So part of the thing is, yeah, okay, we'll give you a body if you work as an infomorph or a digital kind of ego for this X amount of time, and then you'll get a body, and sure, it'll be a little crappy one, and that means you got to work for us even more to upgrade it.
So it's kind of like slavery, you know, and make the most of it.
Yeah.
You know.
I don't think we really have time to go into it, but, you know,
sorry.
Wikipedia lists arranged marriages as a kind of slavery.
No, well, how could you not kind of see that? Because you don't have freedom.
No joke, my cousin is in an arranged marriage.
Japanese cousin?
No,
he's Muslim.
Oh.
And he was very lucky. But it's the...
Man, he got a hottie! Man!
No, because he wouldn't have met anybody otherwise. No, but they have a good relationship. But, you know, some take. My in-laws are arranged.
Yeah. My grandparents-in-law.
Yeah.
My girlfriend's parents.
I don't know, like, the arranged, like, I believe there was, in both my cousin's case and my in-law's case, they could have said no.
Yeah.
It was arranged in that it was like a matchmaker.
Yeah. Yeah.
It wasn't forced upon them. Yeah. I think my cousin just seized the day.
I'm getting married. I got a girl. Woo!
Don't speak. I already have my decision. But yeah, you can
wait,
talk.
Wait,
if you like talking, yeah, go ahead.
You got me an arranged marriage? With a woman? Yes! All right. What do I sign?
You have to clarify. Arranged marriage. Oh, woman. All right.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Now you're talking.
Could have been worse.
So anyway, to sum up for today's episode, slavery, awesome.
I think awesome for a game.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
With that caveat. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, but it's like you play a game, you murder people and you kill people, but then there's certain...
Yeah, but you don't take away the freedom.
Yeah, you're free to kill. Well, you take away their life.
You're free to kill. They're free to run away.
I think a dead person has less freedom than a slave.
Well, you don't know what happens on the other side, Lyle.
I don't know. Give me freedom or give me death.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Anyway, thank you for joining us again on another episode.
I bet you didn't say that with a gun to his head.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. Thank you for joining us again. Another episode of Idle Red Hands. Check us out online. You can hear us on iTunes, Stitcher, through the website, or through DriveThruRPG. Thank you very much. Post on the forums, on the website, like us on Facebook, and all that other good stuff, and we'll see you next time.
Can I just say, like, slavery's bad, but just get that out there?
All right, yeah. Just in case.
I agree. Slavery is bad.
All right. We just want to make sure that that's clear.
Okay. Right.
Well, see you next time.
Bye.
Drive-through RPG. We average 9 new titles a day. That's over 60 a week. And we've got well over 15,000 RPG titles online right now. Drive-through RPG, the one true source for RPGs. We'll be right back.
Idle Red Hands, recorded in Kobe, Japan. See us online at www.idleredhands.com. Music provided by Tripod Jimmy, and the song was Roadkill. Hope you enjoyed it. See you next time.